Welcome to the OneUp Sales Development Podcast, a podcast for new and emerging revenue leaders, whether you're in sales, marketing, or customer success. We're here for one thing and one thing only, to drive revenue. This one goes out to all the hustlers out there on the phones, each and every day, slugging it out. Whether you're adding net new logos, expanding revenue from your sales base, or renewing existing accounts, it's all about working as one cohesive team towards one cohesive goal.
Cross-functional sales team!
So if you're new and you want to be a top funnel sales dev strategist, then you better put in the work and act like one. Digital marketing, act like one. Customer success, act like one. To be the bro, act the role. I'm your host, Jackson Lill, a top funnel revenue growth leader and an everyday frontline practitioner. This podcast is brought to you by the SDU community, Sales Dev
United. SDRs United.
Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show. All right. Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the OneUp Sales Development Podcast. And this is it. This is it. 1 year in the making. This is 1 year in the making, guys. I am ecstatic, shocked, and surprised to have this individual come on to share his story, but more importantly, share some insights for our listeners today. For the OneUp Sales Development Podcast, it's geared towards new and young SDR and BDRs, typically our listeners between the age of 25 and 35, millennials, 80% males. So we got to bump that up for the females. We have some listeners in the UK, Ukraine, Indonesia, Africa too as well, but mainly in the States. And I am happy to proud to bring you guys for this guest for the return of the OneUp Sales Development Podcast. We all know that we've been on a break due to that personal issue, but I am so happy and thrilled to bring it back on this, bring this individual on. This guy is the godfather of sales development. He is the sales development philosopher. When I first joined, shout out to you, David Delaney at 10Bound. The first thing he told me when I came on the board was follow this individual. This individual next up here is the mentor for women in sales, mentor for GrowFX, for the Girls Up Club, advisor of Lupio. Please give me a warm welcome for the one and only Mr. Rob Barcy, VP of Global Insight Sales at Trey.io.
How you doing, Jax? Thank you for that kind introduction. My goodness.
My God, Ralph, is that really you?
Yes, is that really you?
Yeah. And as we were talking about just in the backstage, you know, I have never dressed up for anyone in the interview until today. Thanks for coming on, Ralph.
Hey, it's my pleasure. You look sharp as a tack. I like the flower on the lapel. You're looking good, man.
Thanks, Ralph. You look good too as well.
Well, I do my best. I appreciate it.
Well, Ralph, I've been following you for a very long time, and I'm really happy to throw for you beyond here. You know, I follow your content religiously, and what really holds me apart, that holds you apart, that always keep me up to mind, is your lifelong philosophy, which we'll dive in a few moments. You know, you're a big reader, leaders are readers, you know, but Jim Quick talks about if knowledge is your power, then implementing knowledge is your superpower. And that's where every time I listen to your podcast, other episodes that you recorded with, compared to the other SDR, BDR leaders out there, not to knock on them, but you're on the front lines doing it every single day. So without further ado, why don't you just take it away? Please let us know, give a brief introduction of who you are and what do you currently do and what's Trey.io?
Sure. Well, so first of all, you talked about Jim Quick, and that book is in queue for me. I'm not remembering the name of it. Do you remember the title of it, Jax?
I haven't gotten into his book. I listen to a lot of his content. I think it's Quick Learning. Those sort of courses.
There's one that he recently released, recently published rather. And I heard Jim speak as part of the Build Your Life Resume program, which is hosted by Jesse Itzler. And he had a lot of game changer content. And I really appreciate that you said, look, it's one thing to read voraciously and, you know, gobble up as much information and content as you can. But if you're not doing anything with it, if you're not applying it, let alone tailoring it to your own style, then it's pointless. So the whole theme is to give back to the community, give back to others, based on what you've learned from the content or what you've written if you are a writer yourself. So really appreciate that you mentioned Jim, because I've enjoyed his work and I can't wait to read that book. I just wish I could remember the name of it. Anyway, to your question. So I've been in the sales game for 28 years. And I started out as an individual contributor. I did that for some time, pretty much half of my career. I was an account executive. And then the latter half, I really invested a lot of energy and time into building and leading teams. And specifically over the last decade, that focus has been solely on sales development. I've really immersed myself in the sales development world because it means a lot to me. I like where it sits in the funnel in between marketing and demand gen and sales. I like its twofold objective of driving revenue pipeline for an organization, as well as a people or talent pipeline for an organization. And I feel like I could share a lot of insights and help people get where they're trying to go in their career. So today I lead the global inside sales organization, which essentially is sales development at Trey.io. Trey is based in San Francisco. We also have a team in London, and we help businesses solve integration and automation problems. So many businesses are dealing with the proliferation of applications today, and all those applications have to talk to each other in order to create workflows and streamline business processes. And so Trey parachutes into the enterprise and helps them do that.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So it's great. It's great to be here, Jax. And I can talk about sales development all day long. It really, I said, it means a lot to me. It's near and dear to my heart.
Absolutely. So just to confirm, Trey.io pretty much integrates for the enterprises, right? Where they have the, you know, the troubles. It's like, hey, if you're using multiple tech stack solutions, if you're manually processing from here and over there, you know, over time, you can save a lot more time with to streamline if it talks to each other, like so and so said.
100%. And that even scratches the surface. It's what we call a general automation platform. So it's a holistic platform that impacts all business units across the enterprise and helps them integrate all the technologies in their tech stacks, like you said, and then they can drive business processes via automated workflows from those integrations, which is pretty cool. So there's systemic impact right away across the whole business.
Automation workflow has got to be probably the simplest term to say it. Automation workflow.
Yeah, it's really important today. You know, a lot of businesses are going through what we call digital transformation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that means taking the disparate systems and technologies that they have in their businesses and connecting the dots, making sure they're all married together so that they can get things done faster and more productively. And it's a fun time to be at a company like Trey.
Nice. That's God, love technology, right? Makes it faster, stronger, smarter, smoother.
That's right.
Ralph,
yeah.
You've been in sales for 28 years.
Yeah.
Started already.
God help us. Oh. That's a long time.
Oh man, you're out of Godfather. What's your origin story? How did you get into sales? How were you exposed to it?
I'm sure.
Is it there?
Yeah, sure. So when I was a kid, I had a paper route. I used to fold newspapers, worked for the San Francisco Examiner and San Francisco Chronicle. And I would fold papers in my driveway and I would drive around on my BMX bike and deliver newspapers to the entire neighborhood. And then at the end of every month, I would have to go collect. So I'd be literally knocking on doors, you know, doing the accounts receivable piece of my paper route. And got an opportunity to meet the whole neighborhood, to let them know that I was the kid on the BMX bike throwing the papers on their porch. Did they want it on their porch? Did they want it on their driveway, et cetera? And that's how I started to really learn about caring about what others want from your service or from your offering. As I got older, all my friends and family kept telling me, hey, you need to go into sales. Like, you've got that personality and that moxie that would suit, it would suit you well to be in sales. And so right after graduating from college, I dove into a sales role at United Parcel Service. Couldn't have asked for a better company to start working with. They really taught me early on about the frameworks, the processes, the methodologies, the approaches of selling to businesses. And I learned a lot from that company and then got into technology super, super early during the dot-com boom. And got an opportunity to sell for a company called CitySearch.com, worked for a company called Vertical Networks. And just, you know, it went from there. I worked for a number of different really cool software companies in a lot of different industries. And I just found sales to be, you know, my gig very early on in life. And I haven't looked back.
Nice. Nice. The .com boom area.
back in the day. Yeah. 99.
Oh, snap.
You know, early 2000 is when it blew up and yeah, it was nuts.
Oh man. Ralph, just to dive a little bit deeper here. So I, my cousins are really into BMX bikes. I'm talking about their bikes that they fix up. There's like the kind where people do tricks on, or it's like shiny and silver. It's like $800 build and stuff.
Sure.
So you mentioned you're throwing, you know, grab newspaper, you throw in the front yard or maybe like in a car. And how were you, gathering information back where they said, hey, Ralph, I'd love it if you throw my newspaper on my front porch rather than the hood of my car.
Yeah, well, first things first, talking about BMX, for any BMX aficionados out there. So I rode a Diamondback Silver Streak, and that bike was legit in 1981, 1982. That was a big deal. And, my brother rode a Haro freestyle bike. So the tricks you're talking about from your family, and friends, you know, my brother was, part of, you know, he had a freestyle BMX bike as well, which was pretty hot back in the day. But anyway, to answer your question about the, you know, how to cater to, my customers, it was asking them.
Wow.
You know, just when I would go collect checks from them at the end of every month for, you know, a month subscription, month-to-month subscription, I would ask the question, hey, you know, how are things going anyway? I mean, do you like where I'm throwing the paper? Would you prefer it on the driveway? Do you want me to place it right here on the porch? You know, this is your newspaper. You're going to receive it the way you want to receive it. Wow. Tell me what you think. And, you know, obviously people love that. And that type of human interaction and those types of questions apply today. None of that has ever changed, nor will it.
Wow. Yes. Yes. Was this, and you know, just curious before we move on to the next conversation, but what was this something that the manager taught you to in terms of personalization, be humanizing the transaction, or were you just biking?
Thanks for asking that. You know, not really. No, it wasn't really. We didn't get that guidance from the newspaper company. With all due respect to the newspaper company, I learned that from my grandfather. My grandfather was, God rest him, he was a Teamster in San Francisco, and he drove trucks when I was a kid, specifically to deliver goods to different businesses. And oftentimes he would grab me during the lunch hour and he would take me on a couple stops to meet some of the merchants in San Francisco. And he would always get off the truck, go into the store, whether it be a delicatessen or an auto parts shop. And he would introduce me and then he would just make his way through the whole place because he was, you know, very outgoing and extroverted and would meet everybody and would ask about the shipments that they were receiving from him and from his company. And I just picked up on that through osmosis and by hanging out with him to learn how he would establish conversation flow with people, how he would build quick rapport with people that he was just meeting for the first time, and what types of questions he would ask and how he would make people laugh. And I just modeled a lot from, you know, the interactions my grandfather had with his customers.
Oh, wow. Got it. Got, God rest his soul. What was his name?
Ralph Barcy. His name was Ralph Barcy. My father's name is Ralph Barcy. My son's name is Ralph Barcy.
No way. So you're the third, yeah. And your son's the fourth.
Yeah, we all have different middle names. So we don't have the traditional, the first, second, third, fourth. We just all have different middle names. So my grandfather was Ralph Anthony Barcy, and he was a special guy. I miss him a lot.
Yeah.
So that's where I really learned that, you know, how to jive and establish flow with people in conversation.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. First things first, God rest his soul, Ralph Anthony Barcy. I'm sure he would be super proud of what he'd done today. You know, and the reason I asked that too is because that's pretty much what's broken today too in kind of sales development, right? That human interaction, just really humanizing things and just, hey, Ralph, how was that? You know, hey, you're getting service for me. I'm delivering newspaper for you. Was wondering, you know, how are you doing? Is there anything I can do better to expedite your experience, cater to you specific? Wow, you learned that early on.
Yeah. And you're right, Jax. You know, that is kind of, there's some brokenness in sales development today with respect to that. You know, even, you know, in this initial email, so many SDRs and BDRs are relying on automated sequences or cadences to get messaging into these prospects. And especially when it comes to targeted accounts, named accounts that you and your company want to do business with, you've got to be personal. And I know it's constantly reiterated, but it's such a surprise to me how many people nod their head and go, yeah, personalization. And they just don't take it to the level it needs to be taken to. So for example, you know, if you're a BDR today or an SDR today, and you're struggling with, you know, getting responses to your initial messages, ask yourself a couple questions about your messaging. So number one, does it even explain why you're reaching out to the person? You know, for example, Jax, you or someone from your company inquired about our offering. It's my responsibility to make sure that we serve you and make sure that we address any questions that you have. Oh, and by the way, what prompted you to look into us in the first place? How did you find out about us? How do you think we can help you? So you have to ask that question. You also have to ask, am I even asking a question in my email? Is there a question mark? Does it evoke a response from the recipient? Because if there's no question mark, no one has to respond at all. It's just information for them. And then thirdly, the type of question that you're asking, you know, is it a yes, no question? Or is it an open-ended question, something that's going to engage them a little bit? You know, do you give them a couple multiple choices in terms of when you want to meet with them? How are you showing up? Also, not everybody wants to necessarily meet with you right out of the gate. You know, yes. So many sales development professionals, they're immediately asking for the meeting and they don't even know. The SDRs don't even know what the meeting's going to be about yet. So instead, be a little less invasive and a little more quality focused to say, hey, look, if you think it makes sense to meet, let's look at calendars. But until then, you know, based on what prompted your visit, here's some content that you might want to look into, or where are you with this in your decision-making process? Who else is involved? So if we were to get on a call, who else would need to be on the call besides you? A lot of basic 101 fundamental stuff that you would ask people that's not asked in these emails or in these initial interactions. And it breaks my heart because it's not that difficult.
Yes. Yes. There's that Barcy heat so far. Oh, you are absolutely right. There needs to be an increase in personalization and relevancy, right? Hey, Ralph, it's Jax with Trade.io. Thanks for your submission over here on our webpage. I'm curious, what sparked you to type in your name, .. Is this something we should be chatting a little bit further? Oh, by the way, here's some context. If so,
connect the dots for them too. Just say, look, I'm a sales development rep here, so it's my job to make sure you get initial questions answered and addressed. But also, let me tell you what happens next. What happens next is you and I have a conversation. I'm probably going to bombard you with 15 questions, but let me tell you why I'm going to be asking those questions. I have a team of resources behind me that will help us tailor your experience so that we can best serve and accommodate you and your organization. So after you address my 15 questions on our call, I can pass the baton to the right people at Trey who can take it from here and do a deeper discussion with you to really learn your business initiatives, your strategic plans for the year, et cetera. Because we intend to build a long-lasting business relationship with you, and we're just at the tippy top of it. We're just starting.
Yep. Wow. Amazing. 100% agreed. And it's really the rep, right? Just really got to be there and say, look, Ralph, I'm just trying to help you.
That's right.
Please bear with me. I'm just trying to help you to see where would we go next, best steps, rather than just say, 15 minutes of time, and just throw it away, which becomes the commission breath. And then it's like, oh, you know what? Screw this. Laters.
Yeah, I think it's really important that SDRs focus more on their inputs than their outcomes. You know, I think if you just focus on how you're crafting your messages, how you're opening conversations, how you're following up and following through, how you're teeing up an account executive for that second call, making sure that your notes are thorough, making sure that they string together a narrative for that account executive. That's what I mean by the inputs. It's, you know, if you get rejected or you're not getting a response, instead of complaining and whining about it, you face inward for a moment and go, what do I need to change? What is it about me that I need to fix? Because I think if I change, everything will change for me. So I might have to make a couple tweaks in order to kind of change the path I'm on. And then you don't have to look at outcomes anymore. You don't have to keep track of the scoreboard if you know you're really focusing on leaning into your input.
Input. Focusing and believing in the process and not the numbers, right? And yes. Accountability is basically what I'm hearing from you, which is what happened here? What can we do better? What can I do to team up? Hey, Ralph, this is the expectations that you guys were expecting. This is what you wanted me to do. Here's what I did. Here's the outcome. Is there anything I could have done better?
Exactly. You're with me, Jackson. You know what? It segues into your personal and professional development as well. So I hear a lot of sales development reps. Fortunately, I don't hear many of them, but I hear a lot of them complain that their companies aren't guiding them. They're not developing their skills and competencies. And frankly, a lot of companies that I'm hearing these SDRs spouting from are brand new to the world. Like, these are young SaaS companies that are early stage startups, and they're moving 1,000 miles per hour. They're trying to drive revenue. They're trying to get on a healthy trajectory so that they can maybe go for more funding, et cetera. They're trying to serve up. Yeah, these early stage startups, while that is a focus for them, it may not be a top three priority. So the good news is there are podcasts like yours. There's the work that David Delaney and the 10-Bound team are doing. There's a bevy of awesome resources in sales development to learn from. I can go for days naming people and naming resources for SDRs to learn from. So you've got to hold yourself accountable. Like, if you're not being taught, go find the information, go find the people, go find the mentors, you own your career. It's up to you to get sharp. You know, don't rely on everybody to kind of be there to help you out all the time.
Okay. Let me take a stab and piggyback this with you real quick. Want to get working here. Sure. What you just said right there is a super true. A lot of people, rep that I talk with, hey, look, it's my first time. This company is fairly new. I just got brought on. We're here to scale. And 9 out of 10, when the help is not there, really, you got to somehow, some way tell them you got to figure it out. Figure it out. So, but the trouble is, Ralph, there's a lot of teens, you know, 22, 23, hey, look, I'm just out of college. Screw this, my ego. Yep. I'm just going to keep going. What's my KPIs? Let me 2x that. And there's no results, but one of the biggest issue is, I don't know why it's even an issue. They know they need help, but they don't ask for it.
True.
What can we do, or something, or sort of a few things that you can give that person advice that's perhaps listening to, just, hey, look.
Sure. There are a couple ways you can do this. First of all, if you are considering a company to join, ask them, talk to us about the professional development efforts that are taking place at this company. You know, I, of course, want to grow in my career. I want to grow my competencies. I want to get better every single day. Tell me how this company can help me. But always keep in mind that you too, you need to be a contributor of value. And so if you're at a company right now where you really want to just consume value, you want to consume value from, you know, an enablement team or the company or your boss, et cetera, it's a two-way street. You can consume all day long, but until you're a contributor of value, you're not becoming valuable in the process. So it's really important that if you're going to go to your boss to, I don't know, voice a concern that you don't think you're developing your skills at that company, I would recommend that you first talk about the value you've brought in the sales qualified opportunities that you've created, maybe the closed won opportunities that you sourced. Maybe you talk about the number of emails that you've sent out that you've gotten responses to and you've booked meetings from. Maybe you share a little bit about your stats. Maybe you talk about teammates of yours that you've been helping out kind of behind the scenes, but start with the value you've been adding as a contributor and then say, you know, here's what I need. I need a little more guidance when it comes to this, but you've kind of earned the right to ask for it because you've started with showing the value you've been contributing. Does that make sense, Jax?
Yes, absolutely. I'm a big fan of Jim Rohn, and one of his philosophy where it is, if you look at a soil and you stare at it, it's going to tell you, don't bring me your need, bring me your seed. And what I'm hearing from you is, if this person, new rep, that's not getting the results and not the help, they got to be like treating it like a two-way process. Like you said, if you want something, you got to give something. Hey, Ralph, you know, this is the KPIs you gave me. I attacked it. I did the best I can. Here are the results, but I think we need some help. What can we do? Is that what that would kind of look like?
Yeah. So I'm a huge Jim Rohn fan as well. Big time.
Oh, no way. And
big time. And I'm also a fan of a late economist named Edwards Deming. And Edwards said that every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. And so for the SDRs listening, if you're not getting the results you're getting personally or professionally, then you need to line check your systems. You have to go back and find where the kink in the chain is of the systems that you are implementing today. So if you're not getting responses to 98% of the emails you're sending, you have to line check, what do those emails say? Would I respond to them? Do they make sense? Do they evoke that response we were talking about earlier? If people hang up on you or give you a bunch of attitude on the phone, line check how well or not you're mirroring and matching that person when they answer the phone. If they answer the phone or get on a Zoom call with you and you say, hey, Jax, how you doing today? My name's Ralph. And Jax responds with, I'm great. Well, then you need to switch gears super fast and go, hey, thanks so much for taking my call today. Here's what we're going to cover in the time that we have, and get right to business. But if Jack says, oh, hey, Ralph, I'm Jax. What's up? How's the weather where you are? Then roll with it, man. But that's what I mean by line checking your systems. So yes. if you're not hitting your numbers, go back and look at your process, because I guarantee it's broken.
Line check. That's
right.
That's exactly what the world needs. Line check. Ralph, to dive a little bit deeper on this, right? Let's say it's a rep doing it. what are a few advice or tactics they can do to funnel down and pinpoint the line check of what needs to be looked at?
Oh, I love it. So let's say you are an inbound rep and you follow up on inbound leads. Well, there are three S's that you need to pay attention to: the source of that lead, the score of that lead, and hopefully your organization scores its leads, and the status of that lead. So you have to understand the conversion rates of the various sources. Typically, if somebody comes in as a contact me lead, the probability of you converting that lead is going to be very high. If all they did was download a PDF from your website, the probability of them converting is going to be low. You have to have a very clear understanding of what the probabilities are by source so that you can prioritize every day what leads to follow up on and where you're going to get the most lift. That's what I mean by line checking your system if you're an inbound rep.
My goodness.
Source. If you're an outbound source rep, status. You want me to switch?
Yes, please.
Yes. Yeah. Status, score, and source. Yeah. If you're an outbound rep, one of the first things you need to be asking your organization is, who do you want me calling? So, I mean, that's a pretty fundamental question. But you'd be surprised how many organizations have not given their BDRs a target account list. And when they give them the target account list, they have to be very clear on the types of personas they want that BDR to initiate conversations with. BDRs who don't do well at outbounding don't understand the concept of account mapping, having a plan. So you plan your work and you work your plan. If you take a look at a list of target accounts, you have to understand all the firmographic information about that account. You have to look at their 10K form if one exists for them. You have to understand, you have to do what we call org it out. And you have to understand who are all the key stakeholders in various business units that we want to have conversations with. And you have to look up all of the information that you can find on those people on LinkedIn, via Zoom info, et cetera, et cetera. And here's another great resource, YouTube. If you're calling into executives, it's likely that they have sat on a panel or facilitated a panel or done a talk on their own. And if you get an opportunity to listen to them present to an audience for 5 minutes, you're gonna catch their mannerisms, the inflections of their voice, their general tone and disposition, and you will be able to meet them where they are when you initiate a conversation with them. And you'll have insights to drop when you're trying to engage with them in the first place, because you've really done your due diligence in looking them up.
Oh man, org chart hunting, YouTube.
Yes.
Oh my God, hey.
Org it out.
Org it out. Hey, look, we're targeting this guy named Ralph Barcy. Oh, he's on YouTube, man. Let's see what he's all about. Let's feel him out. And when you do that, you now have a feel of what kind of person this is. What does he like? How can I communicate where I can draw common ground to the point where to increase the chances of you responding because you like me because I, you know, did research and know you and how to communicate with you through across the board.
Correct. Now, oftentimes there are people who aren't on LinkedIn or they're not building their brand. They're not out there on YouTube. So here are a couple things you're going to want to think about. How long have they been at the organization they're at? Have they been there 2 years or have they been there 8 years? Big difference between the two. If they've been there 2 years, where were they before? What company or companies did they work for? And start learning about those companies and those processes so that you can try to find some common ground to meet them with when you do engage. Also, to find out what are the biggest problems their personas or their titles are dealing with today in the industry. So my friend John Barrows, for example, every year gathers insights on top problems that various personas are trying to handle. Biggest challenges they're trying to deal with, so that when you do initiate a conversation with a certain persona, you can bring out key issues that their counterparts and colleagues are dealing with across the industry. And then you can ask, you know, how would you stack rank that problem in your business? Is it number one, something you want to address immediately? Or is it number five, something you'll get to in the next fiscal year? You know, based on the conversations I've had with people in your role and based on my research, it sounds like this is a pretty hot problem. Well, that's why I'm calling, because I think we can get acquainted and tell you how we've helped other businesses fix it.
Oh my God, Ralph Barcy. Okay, so what we're hearing is, hey, look, personalization, research, find out something that stands apart. Yeah, whatever. But if they're not the contents out there, they don't have a Twitter, there's no personal branding, they're not on YouTube, you want to go into their history. Okay, how long have they been there? Either 2 or 8 years. Huge difference. Where were they before? And then collecting resources, kind of like mapping it out where it's a wall where you're like an FBI tracking a serial killer, and you have these red dots and you're searching where they were before, finding that pattern and making that the point of entry.
That's quite an analogy. Yes.
Well, Ralph, I want to ask you something real quick here, just before we just turn point.
Of course.
You were an AE over at UPS, very familiar with UPS, logistics, walking around. I have a relative who's he's up there now, director for FedEx. He actually took me on a field, a few road trips before, about just when I just graduated 3 years ago when I got into BDB. Normally when I chat with people who's in these type of field, paychecks, ADP, UPS, FedEx, logistics, outside BDB rep, Cintas, whatever, 9 out of 10, normally they would go for medical device sales because that's the point of entry from there.
Oh, interesting.
What got you into technology instead of doing that? Because most people from that I talk to with that background goes work for MedFusion and these medical device sales or pharmaceutical sales. Like, what?
Interesting.
What made you go to tech?
Well, for me, it was our place in history. I worked at UPS from 1994 to 1999, and the dot-com boom we were talking about earlier was happening all around me. And I am from the Bay Area. And so, I knew about all the companies in Silicon Valley that were popping up. I saw the evolution of the internet and email and laptops. It was all happening in the late 90s. And although I loved UPS and am forever grateful and indebted to them for what they taught me while I was there, I wanted in on this technology wave. Now, of course, I didn't know that in early 2000 it was going to blow up. But obviously, in retrospect, we know that tech absolutely recovered and has done just fine. And it's also not going anywhere. In fact, it's only going to evolve from here. And it just appealed to me. I thought it was hip. I thought it was now. And I thought I could be a significant contributor to this new movement that was happening.
Got it. Makes sense. So you saw the way it was like, I'm just gonna go.
I'm in.
Text around me. Yeah. Well, yeah, you grew up in San Francisco, head to tech hub. That totally makes sense. All right. Ralph, something I really wanted to ask you to get your, and that's why I'm so happy you're on, because when we started the One Up Sales Development podcast, it's like, hey, just interview who you know. And it was majority of males, and I saw that. I was like, oh, fuck, dude, this doesn't look good. We got to show some love we got to start fixing things up. And I, noticed from the research, you're a huge advocate for women in sales, female in sales. You're a mentor for just supporting the females. I'm curious to get your thoughts here, because I truly believe, the female in sales is, they don't get the credit they deserve. Sometimes positions and things comes out where, a dude would get it when she would do 10 times just as better. Like, what's your thoughts there? What are a few things we can do to help empower female in sales and In your eyes, is there even a problem with female in sales?
Is there what? What was the last question?
Is there even a problem or barrier with female in sales?
I'm just curious. Good question. So first of all, I think we need more females in sales, period. And more specifically in sales leadership. I grew up in my career with all male leaders, you know, sitting around the conference table, not one woman present. And that something's off about that, don't you think? So, you know, I have been a big proponent and a big advocate of, you know, having more women in sales and sales leadership positions. I've also had the privilege of being able to work with and getting to know so many strong, awesome female leaders that I look up to because of their leadership approach, their style. And I think it's less of a problem today, Jax, than it was when I was coming up. And there are some incredible associations and groups out there today to, you know, shine a brighter light on all the fabulous female leaders that are out there. You know, a couple that come to mind, you mentioned at the beginning of the call, you know, I'm honored to be a mentor for Girls Club. It's run by Lauren Bailey of Factor 8. She has an incredible team of mentors and proteges, you know, really driving this whole thing forward. And it's just a real pleasure to be part of what they're doing. And of course, you mentioned Women in Sales. That's another incredible association that's shining a bright light on awesome ladies in the field. And then there's just so many leaders, like I said, that I've worked with and I've gotten to know over the years that I would highly recommend your audience take a look at, you know, and it runs the gamut from Trish Bertuzzi and Lori Richardson to Beck Holland, Nicolette Mullenix, Becky Sue, Alex Griffin, Lauren Wadsworth, you know, it goes for days. Yeah, there's just so many awesome ladies out there that are crushing it. Another one is Kat Andrua. She is just crushing it in our profession and leading from the front. I could go on and on. It's just, you know, everybody needs to start paying attention to what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. No, I love Lauren Wadsworth. If you're listening, shout out to you. We actually interviewed her over at 10 Bound for the blog too, as well. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up Trish Bertuzzi. I have her book right here. When I first started, the first book that a guy was training me, he was, he got me the book right here. And then that's the first time I actually saw you too. Your words is in there, Ralph Barcy. So you read
that. Yes. Yeah. Oh, honored to be part of that book.
Yeah. No kidding. Trish Bertuzzi, if you're ever listening to this, thank you for all you do and empowering the female in sales. Yeah. You know, is a shameless plug, perhaps maybe one day get her on here too.
Trish is awesome.
Yeah. The bridge group.
That's right.
Ralph, so I know we're running up the time here, and just before we go, you know, you've been in sales for a very long time. Sales development, technology changes fast, right? To beat it, you have to be even faster. You work your way up the ranks, you know, you're at UPS, AE, and then technology sales, and then sales development, and you really threw yourself out there. I did a lot of research on you. One of the blogs that you were in really stood out to me. And I want to pick your brain, your mind process. So when you, for those who wants to run and be successful when running a huge self-development team, you're, one of the things that stood out for me from you was you inspire those by individuals and not at as a team, not as a whole, as an individual.
That's right.
What's your thought process there?
Yeah, well, I think deeply about that. So first of all, I think you have to do the things that don't scale when you're a leader. And what that means is you have to really have to pay attention to each individual on your team, regardless of how big your team is. You have to put in even more effort in that case to get to know as best you can every individual in your organization. And more importantly, as much as they will disclose and share with you, get acquainted with their why and their purpose as to what they're trying to accomplish and why they're there in the first place. And when you can get everybody flying in formation and understanding that there's a big difference between being on a team and being a team, you cannot lose.
Oh my God, there it is. There it is. That's the Barcy fire. That's why you're the VP of Global Inside Sales and Sales Development, Trey. You know, what you just said to me right there was like magic to my ears. I am also a huge Simon Sinek fan. People don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. And Simon Sinek, right. And one of his pep talk, he says, is a true leader is someone who really, if you're going through a bad day, rather than saying, hey, you better hit your numbers or you're out. A true leader is someone like you who would really sit down when you notice something's wrong. And Simon Sinek said, you know, they really care if he looks into your eyes and he's asks you a question and he really cares. Hey, what's going on? Are you okay? That's all it takes. But people don't do it. They don't do it.
Well, a lot of people do it, which is the good news. But there's on the other hand, many who don't. They are so focused on those numbers and those KPIs and the business part of the business that they're missing the boat. You know, they've got some sweet people that are on their team that can really lift all boats and move that company forward. And if they just pay attention for a minute. And tap into the talent that they have in their very organization, they can go really, really far.
My goodness. Ralph, just to wrap things here with due to respect, I want to say again, thank you so much for coming on and blessing the return of the One Up Sales Development podcast. We are truly blessed to have you here. Final question for you before we get to just how best way to reach out, special thanks and stuff. If there is a new rep today that's listening and says, you know, one day I want to be where you're at, Ralph. I want to be where you're at right now. What advice do you have for that individual?
Wow. That there are many who have gone before you, who believe in you, who believe in your potential, who believe in your capabilities. All we ask is that you represent yourself with the highest standards because you're representing us. You know, you're part of our profession. So represent all of us, make us all look good. And, you know, just do the right thing. And whatever it is that you learn along your journey, always, always give back and pay it forward.
Ralph, thank you so much. That's what I really love about you. Honestly, you're big on giving back. Like, you are huge to giving back, and you may even mentioned that on a few podcasts too. I listened from your earlier episodes.
Jax, I'm grateful. You know, a lot of people have helped me out, you know, along the way. I've not gone this road alone. And thank you to you for giving back by way of this podcast. I think 2021 will be a great year for the One Up podcast. And, you know, I'm grateful for what you're doing for our profession and our community, and, you know, keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Ralph. We truly appreciate you. And if there's anyone who wants to reach out and say thank you, what's the best way to do so? Or
oh, awesome. Best way to reach me is connecting with me on LinkedIn. Just do me a favor and send me a little note along with your invitation request. Don't just click connect because I don't know who you are. So you got to give me some context.
Connected pitch.
But it's it's Ralph Barcy on LinkedIn. It's R Barcy on Twitter. You can follow my blog at ralphbarcy.com. And those are real easy ways to get in touch with me. And I reply to every single message that I get.
Oh my God. Ralph, thank you again so much for coming on to One Up Sales Development Podcast. We truly appreciate you.
Thanks so much, Jax. I appreciate you as well. Thanks for having me on.